Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to the Come As You Are podcast, where family and friends testify of how the Lord has turned their darkness to light and traded their mourning for dancing. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." I'm your host, Gracie, and I'm just so overjoyed to have the opportunity to do this. The Lord has proven himself to be so good time and time again in my own life. And it just makes my heart happy to hear of what he has done in the lives of others. As you listen, I challenge you to tune into what the Lord has done for others and invite him into your own life too. The Lord is no respecter of persons, so what he did for me and what he did for them, he can do it for you. So come as you are and leave changed by the power of Christ. Hey guys, welcome to the Come As You Are podcast. As you can see, I'm by myself, and so that means that today I'm just going to be talking to y'all and really just introducing myself and where the Lord has brought me and all of those things. And if I'm being so honest, I have tried to record this episode like three different times, and it is actually currently Saturday, January 4th at 10:17, which is 2 days before this comes out. We're just gonna try and hope, and I have prayed that this would be the episode. And so I think what I had done previously is I kind of just wrote down bullet points, and me, I'm a talker and I love to ramble. And if I'm not given like a set question, I will sit and I will talk for hours. And that's exactly what I did the past two times that I've tried recording this. And so what I did is I wrote down a ton of questions. By a ton, I mean nine. And about four of them came from people who asked me questions on my Instagram story, on my podcast, and my personal, because I just put like, ask me questions about my faith, about my testimony, whatever it may be. And about four people responded and sent in questions. So I added those into the mix. And I'm just going to really just dive in. I'll probably say the question and then say my answer. And then we'll kind of just see where it goes from there. But truly, I do believe that the Lord's just going to lead this conversation. And it's kind of hard whenever there's not somebody else carrying on the conversation. Because like today, I recorded an episode with a dear friend of mine. And the conversation just, it flowed so well. And I feel like whenever it's by yourself, it's so hard to do that. So I'm just so excited for what the Lord's going to do with this. And so with that being said, I'm just going to dive into my testimony and the questions and really just dive deep into what the Lord has done in my life. First question that I have on the notes is, when did you come to Christ for the first time? I came to Christ at 5 years old. I don't even remember where I was or what I was doing or anything, but I remember coming home from wherever I was. Chances are it was probably like Awana's or something like that. And I came to my mom and I was like, look, I know that I'm a sinner and I know that I need Jesus in my life. Will you walk me through that? And it was very simple and a childlike faith because I knew that I needed something more than myself. And it's obviously giving myself to Christ at such a young age. There's a lot of growth that happened between 5 years old and to where I'm at now, 20. Just seeing the way that he has worked his way in my life has been such a blessing, and I'm just so thankful for my upbringing and the people that were around me. And that leads me into my second question, which says, were there any adults who poured into you that got you to the point of salvation? If so, who? And immediately, the first person that I could think of was this woman of God named Carmen Lane. And I did upwards basketball, which, if you don't know what that is, it was before the age of Pee Wee. And she was my coach, and the coaches were kind of, I mean, it was obviously a very, very dumbed down version of basketball because we were so young, but our coaches were also doubled as mentors, sort of, kind of, for that age. And so we had like devotion, and we kept Jesus number one in the basketball game that we played and just everything like that. And so she kind of poured into me from such a young age, and she was a figure that I had in my life and was around a lot throughout my teenage years too. And she has just been such an inspiration and such an encouragement to me. And so I would say that she was one of those people. And then obviously my mother, she was always, you know, talking about the Lord, and she's always been such a strong person and has always been so faithful in what she believes. And also my grandma, she as well has been very, very faithful in her beliefs and faithful to the Lord. And it's been such a blessing to be able to have those figures in my life, and to have them pour into me from such a young age has been so wonderful. And I'm just honestly, truly so blessed and so thankful. Another question that I also ask like a lot of the people that are on the podcast is, after giving your life to Christ, did you find that life got easier, or would you say that it got harder? And I feel like this is such a good question to ask, because for so many people, we think that whenever we come to Christ, that life gets so much easier and that, you know, we are just happy-go-lucky all the time and joyful. And while it is true that we have the joy of the Lord 24/7, it doesn't mean that we are happy 24/7, or that we aren't stressed, or that we aren't sad, mad, whatever it may be. And so my answer to this question would probably be that life honestly just obviously comes with challenges, and there have been many throughout my life, but in a sense it makes it easier whenever you have Christ to walk you through those challenges. And in that sense, I had the Lord in the challenges that I've walked through and in the challenges I walked through today, and it's been a way for me to have joy in the chaos, peace in the chaos, and have that firm foundation that no matter what happens, the Lord is going to get you through it, and he's going to provide you with peace, with comfort, and with just unspeakable joy in the midst of the chaos. And so even though life does have challenges, it is comforting in those challenges to know that Christ is near. The next question that I have is, what are some significant events that have happened that made you realize your strength fully comes from the Lord? And what small act of faith has become a huge part of your testimony? So to answer the first part, there have been many significant events in my life, but I can really only think of two off the top of my head. And one of those would be the car wreck that I was in whenever I was, I want to say 9 during that. And so we were headed home from a trip to Branson, and on our way home, we got in a car wreck not even an hour into the trip home, and it was a head-on collision. My dad was in the hospital for 80 days. My mom had severe injuries that she didn't get treated due to the fact that my dad was in very, very rough condition, and she decided that it would be better for her to go and be with him and help him and I somehow ended up only leaving with a broken thumb. And we also had a family friend in the car with us, and she had a lacerated liver where she had to be med-flatted a couple hours away from where we got in the car wreck. And so it was a very, very traumatizing event. And sadly, two people in the car that hit us didn't make it. And so it was a very, very, very rough car accident. And I would say that that would be one significant event that made me realize that my strength fully comes from the Lord. And I mean, I was only 9, and I vividly remember it and just really realizing that at that age, I was like, you know, life really is short. And in that season of really wondering if my dad was going to make it or if he wasn't, and I remember sitting down with my pawpaw, because my mama and pawpaw and all of my family was so supportive and caring and kind in that season and through that trauma. But my mama and pawpaw, they were up there every single day. Like, they were by our sides. And I remember talking to my pawpaw and just asking him, do you think dad's gonna die? And it was truly one of those moments where my pawpaw didn't know what to say, because at that point, everybody thought that he was going to pass away. And I remember at that age trying to figure out how in the world a miracle was going to be brought of the situation. But also in the back of my mind, I knew that everything was going to be okay because I knew the Creator. And so in that moment, I feel like the Lord definitely caused me to rely fully and solely on Him for strength and for comfort and for peace and for complete peace in that chaos. And so it was one of those things that, I mean, I was so young that I couldn't really comprehend, but I did. And I know and I can testify now, like, my dad is alive and he is well. And the Lord definitely had His hand in that situation. And I'm so glad that He reminded me in that situation that He is my strength and He is my family's strength and He is our strength. And that whenever we feel like we are weak, He is so strong. And if He lives in us, we are strong. And so it was just a very, very, very challenging and significant event that made me realize that my strength fully came from the Lord, as well as, like, people just pouring in prayers and just realizing that there's so much power in prayer. And yeah, so, and then the other one, I'm not going to go into detail, but there is a situation that I'm in right now that, honestly, it's the first situation in my life that I've ever been in where I've found myself so weak in the knees where I can't stand. And it's brought me to my knees more times than I can count. And the fact that I'm able to get up and I'm able to walk and be strong is just a testament of the fact that my strength fully comes from the Lord, because it's one of those situations that I never saw coming and that I never in a million years thought that I would have to walk through. But walking through it has made me so much stronger than I could ever imagine. And I'm so thankful that I have the Lord in these trying situations and in these trials and in these hard times, because He truly, and I mean this with everything in me and every ounce in me, He is my strength in hitting my knees so many times. But after praying and really talking to the Lord and surrendering it completely to Him, I've found that He is where my strength is, and He is my strength, and He gives me the power to get up and keep going, even in the midst of heartache, in the midst of struggles, and in the midst of things that we never thought we would have to go through. He truly is the strength and the comforter, and He is peace, and He is just the calm in the middle of the chaos. So I would say that that would be a significant event that has allowed me to really, really realize that my strength fully and only comes from the Lord. So answering the second question, what small act of faith has become a huge part of your testimony? And honestly, I trace that question back to the summer after 11th grade year, I had the opportunity to go to a church camp called Super Summer. And if you're listening and you know what that is, you know it's such a good time. And if you're listening and you don't know what that is, it's a church camp that's at a Wichita Baptist University. And there, we kind of just go throughout the day with discipleship. And then at night, there's a big church service where everybody from the different schools and the different groups, and by schools, I mean like color schools, which they separate the big groups into different color schools. It sounds so confusing, but they separate you into different color schools. And then at the end of the night, we all come together for a big worship service. And at this big worship service, I want to say it was probably the third night. And, you know, I really had full confidence that my relationship with the Lord was pretty decent. And, you know, there were obviously things that I did that I didn't think that anybody knew about. And I didn't think that anybody had any business knowing about. But obviously God knew about it. And he had been convicting me about it. But, you know, you kind of brush it off. And I just kept doing it because I didn't care. And it was what I called my secret sin. Or that what I've come to call the secret sin that I struggled with. And then in this message, this guy, he went through James 5, I want to say 16, which reads, let me get it. It reads, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. And he tied that into how important it is for us as believers to be open and be vulnerable with one another and really just be open in our struggles. And so he also somehow got on the topic of secret sin and how if we're not careful and if we don't fully lay that down to the Lord, then we are going to be on a road to destruction. And so he preached on secret sin and how destructive it was, and then he tied it into having a community where you can be vulnerable and you can hold each other accountable. And at the end of the message, I mean, obviously throughout the message, the Lord was really tugging at my heart because he was like, this is something that you need to give up, and it's something that you need to notice is wrong, and you need to not necessarily notice it was wrong because I knew it was wrong, but I just didn't want to give it up. I was obviously, the Lord was dealing with me throughout that whole thing. And then he did an altar call, and this altar call at the end of the message, he did this altar call where he had laid out note cards on the altar in the big auditorium that we were in. And he said, look, this is what y'all are going to do if you're struggling with secret sin and you know who you are and the Lord's already dealing with you. So if you're dealing with secret sin, I want you to get up out of your chair and I want you to come down to the altar, take a pen, write on the note card what you're struggling with, fold it, pray over it, and repent of the things that you have been doing in private whenever you feel like nobody is seeing you, even though the Lord obviously sees all and knows all, and then crumble it up, put it on the altar, and walk away. The amount of people that got up and went down to that altar and wrote down secret sins was insane. I want to say literally almost everybody in the room got up and there was a line to the altar to just lay down. And it was one of those moments where it's like, I'm not in this alone. And so I get up, I go down to the altar, and I write it down, pray over it, crumble it up, throw it on the altar, and walk away. And then he instructed us that if we felt comfortable and if we felt like there was a group of people that we felt comfortable enough with to talk about it and to be vulnerable with, that he suggested that we did that. And so that night, me and a couple of my girlfriends from the church that I was going to, we went to the dorm that we were staying at, and we just talked about it, and we got vulnerable with each other. And then it turned out that we were a lot more similar than what we thought, and that, you know, everybody has struggles, and that it's okay to be vulnerable with those struggles. You know, now I can look back and I can say, you know, I am completely free of that sin, and it's been just about probably 3 years, almost 4 years since then, and I can say that I'm completely free of that sin, and I don't really ever think about it anymore. And obviously there are times that I fall, because, I mean, we all fall short of the glory of God, like Romans 3:23 says, but instead of allowing myself to keep dwelling in it, I get up, repent, and turn and look at the Lord. And I allow the Lord to take control of it completely. And that has completely shifted my mindset and the way that I view repentance and everything. So I would say that getting up and writing down what I struggled with on that note card and laying it down at the altar and walking away would be a small act of faith. That has become a huge part of my testimony, because in reality, it doesn't take much energy to get up and go write on a note card for, in turn, for it to be such a huge, huge part of my testimony. All thanks to God. But truly, though, I do believe that we all fall short, and there are things that we struggle with, and there's things that we, you know, try to keep a secret for so long. But honestly, we need to understand that we need to lay those at the feet of Jesus and allow him to take over, and that there's so much more freedom not living in sin than living in sin every single day. And so that's been very huge for me. So question number 5 says that, have there been times where you backslid or walked away from the Lord? What were those times and when? I struggled really bad with like this switch of being like on fire for the Lord and then off fire for the Lord. And it would last for a couple months, and then it'd be like, I'd be back in a dead spot, and then I'd get on fire for him again, and I'd be back in a dead spot. And so I would say 10th grade, the start of 10th grade, I was really on fire for the Lord. We were just coming back from COVID, and in COVID, I really learned a lot about the Lord, because Christian TikTok, like the Christian side of TikTok, was really, really blowing up during COVID. And so I was able to really dive into that, and a lot of people were talking about reading the Gospels, and so I read the Gospel of Jesus for the first time, and it really brought it to life for me. And then, you know, I was just really on fire for the Lord. And then the second semester rolled around, and I feel like that fire just dwindled down, and I wasn't really doing much upkeep with my faith in the sense of like praying and reading my Bible and talking about Jesus and all these things. I grew a really bad mouth and just was very, very rude, hateful, you name it. And I mean, obviously I hid it well from my family, and I hid it well from like a bunch of people that I truly looked up to in the faith and all of those things. But I mean, with my friends, I was, you know, not the person that I should have been in Christ. And then rolled around the summer after 10th grade year, I went to my first church camp, which was called Forge, which was a, not necessarily a knockoff of Super Summer, but a smaller version of Super Summer, because COVID had just happened the year prior, and we were just being very, very precautious with that. And Super Summer wasn't happening, but they wanted to have a church camp. So my church went to that, and there I, you know, had an encounter with the Lord. And that's where I truly believe that the gospel of Jesus Christ really became a deeper revelation to me, in the sense that I finally knew what it meant for Jesus to be the ultimate sacrifice. And I finally knew just the weight that he carried on the cross for me. And so in a sense, it came to life for me, and I was able to really, really, truly grasp the gospel. And so that being said, I rededicated my life one of the nights, I want to say maybe the third night, second night, I don't really know. But also during that summer after church camp, I had like fully surrendered to like ministry and really realizing that, you know, there are gifts in my life that the Lord has so kindly and so generously placed in my life that I feel should be used in ministry and should be used for His glory. And so I fully surrendered to ministry too. Didn't really know what that looked like, but I was like, Lord, I know that there's something more that You want me to do. And I surrendered that to Him as well as rededication. So it was just a very, very impactful moment in my life and in my faith. But then rolled around 11th grade, I went into the year very, very, very on fire. And then, you know, second semester rolled around and I was very, very not on fire. Which isn't funny, but like, it's just like, it feels like this, it was this pattern of like on, off, you know. But 11th grade year, my second semester, very off fire for the Lord. And, you know, it was just one of those dry, dead spots. I was once again back at the spot I was in the second semester of 10th grade year, very foul mouth, very, very hateful, very crude, very just not what a Christian should be and not what a Christian is. And so, you know, I just went on doing the same old, sinning, all of that stuff. And then rolled around the summer of 11th grade. And this was the second church camp that I got the privilege of going to. And it was super summer again. And there, once again, I kind of realized again that I need to get right with the Lord again. And I didn't really rededicate my life, but I just started taking my faith more seriously and realizing that there's a weight that we as Christians carry, and we need to carry it well. And we need to be faithful in our Bible reading, consistent, and we need to pray, and we need to be so dedicated to the Lord. And so, I mean, that really changed my outlook of it. And then, you know, 12th grade rolls around, and that's whenever I feel like there was a complete shift. My 12th grade year, I went in and I was very on fire for the Lord after this church camp that I went to, and I was just ready, set, go. And I feel like throughout that, I was very, very dedicated to the Lord and to what He wanted me to do and the ministry that He wanted me to do in high school. And so, I mean, He began dropping dreams into my heart and began to just do a work that I never thought would be possible. And with the help of so many people, we were able to make a revival service come to life. And it was just so wonderful to see that God-given dream come to life. And then, I mean, a few short months later, right before I graduated, somebody had asked me if I would lead and put together a worship and prayer service during lunchtime. And we did that too, once again, with the help of so many wonderful, devoted people of God that really just helped it come together. And it was such a blessing to be able to be a part of that too. And I mean, obviously all glory to the Lord, because it was just such a cool thing to be a part of. And I'm so glad that even though, and I'm so thankful that even though He doesn't need us, He chooses us and He calls us to do things to further His kingdom. And so that was just such a cool experience to be a part of. And I mean, after 12th grade, I really struggled with not necessarily trying to find my purpose, because I knew what I wanted to go to college for and I knew what my purpose was in Christ, but I struggled really heavily like with confidence in myself and the confidence to have the ability to be able to do the things that the Lord has called me to do. And I also struggled with confidence in my appearance and self-worth. You know, I would say very hateful things in the mirror, and I sort of grew up doing that. And so it wasn't anything new, but it kind of heightened itself after I graduated and all of these things. And so during that time of struggle was whenever I decided and went on a church camp with my church. And at this church camp, it was completely different than Super Summer and Forge. It was just a very, very homey church camp. And it was one of those where you walked in and it wasn't a dorm. It was multiple beds in one room. And then there were two bathrooms and like two showers in each bathroom. And it was something that I never experienced before. And if anybody's watching that goes to my church right now, they know that I literally arrived there and I started crying because I'd never seen anything like it before, which sounds so ridiculous and so bratty, which it so was. But I had culture shock as we all like to call it. And but it was at that place and at that camp, and I hold that camp so dear to my heart, that I really realized that the Lord can completely set you free from self-doubt and self-worth issues and all of those things. And he can really fill you with confidence that he desires you to have. And you can start to look at yourself in the mirror and really see yourself for the way that God created you. And so I would say that that was a really, really big part of my testimony, in the sense that it really brought me back to, or not necessarily ever brought me back, because I feel like I was never the person that could look at myself in the mirror and be and genuinely see what the Lord had created instead of picking it apart. But it brought me to a place where I could do that, and I could see myself in the mirror as somebody that the Lord had created and had a purpose and was loved beyond all measure. And with that, I was able to fulfill his callings that he placed on my life with so much more purpose and hope, I guess. And so I would say that that really completely changed my life. And then from that point on, I feel like my faith has really been very, very important and something that I've held on to. And like I said, I obviously fail, because I mean, we're human and we're flesh, and I've made decisions that I wish that I wouldn't have. But the difference now, instead of living consistently and constantly in those sins, I choose to lay them down at the feet of Jesus and repent and change my habits, change my ways by the power of the Lord. And that's completely changed my faith walk. So I would say that there's been a couple times that I've backslid or really walked away from the Lord, but it was in those times that the Lord drew me back, and in a way my faith became stronger, because once you feel the peace and feel the comfort after being away from it for so long, and not away from it by his doings, but by my doings, once you feel that comfort and know that comfort again, it makes it even harder to walk away. And so I think that's where I'm standing right now. So the next question that I have is, what are the key moments that have helped you get back on track with the Lord? And what keeps you going when you hit rock bottom? So the key moments that have helped me get on back on track with the Lord is remaining consistent in church. I think is such a huge one. But also not only staying consistent in church, but staying consistent in the Word and staying consistent in your prayer life has completely radically changed my relationship with the Lord. And, you know, being honest with the Lord and being vulnerable with him has allowed me to, you know, get back on track with him, and really fully just laying down my sinful nature and the things of this world to him constantly. And I mean, picking up my cross and choosing to walk with the Lord daily has been a way that I've got back on track with him. And I think so many people, that whenever they walk away, they feel like it's so much harder to come back. And to an extent, I agree, because, you know, I walked it, and it felt, and whenever I walked away, I felt like I was unworthy to come back. But realizing and completely understanding that in the moments that you walk away, there is nothing better you can do than to hit your knees and say, Lord, I'm sorry, repent, and turn back to him. And so that's been something that has helped me get back on track with him. And I'm so glad that in the times that I've walked away, that I have repented and come back to him, because there's no telling where I would be right now if I hadn't. And then to kind of piggyback off of what I just said about what keeps me going when I hit rock bottom, I would just say, once again, reading my Bible, talking to the Lord, and just being real with him. And for so long, I had this idea that I would only pray to the Lord at night, and that that would be all I would pray throughout the day. But in reality, I need to pray without ceasing, like the word tells us to. And from my understanding, that really means to have a constant communication vessel opened with the Lord, and to really just talk to him whenever and whenever you need to and wherever you need to, whether that be on the car ride to work or car ride to school, or, you know, just wherever you might be communicating with the Lord. And so I would say that that would be a key, something that keeps me going when I hit rock bottom, is just talking to the Lord and being real with him and being vulnerable. I mean, he already knows, but there's something, and there's so much power whenever it comes out of your mouth. Because, you know, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so if we're sitting communicating with the Lord what we're going through, I feel like there's so much power in the ability to be able to overcome what we're going through if we just be honest and be vulnerable with the Lord about it. And so I would say that that's something that keeps me going when I hit rock bottom. So question number 7 is, after finally taking your relationship with the Lord seriously, what have been the significant things that have helped you become closer to God? And this is kind of honestly just the same thing as the previous question, is consistency and being constantly available and open to what the Lord wants to do in your life. And so my thing for me is, I try, and obviously there are times whenever I fail, because like I said, we're human, and that's just what our flesh does, is we fail every now and then. But mine has been, even when I don't feel like getting in the prayer closet, or even whenever I don't feel like praying or talking to the Lord, doing it anyway. Because half the time, whenever I get into, or actually I'm not even going to say half the time, because honestly I think it's every single time that I don't feel like praying or I don't feel like getting into the word, that the Lord grasps me and pulls me in closer. And, you know, I'll find myself praying and just, it will just flow, and I'll just begin outpouring my heart to the Lord and talking to him and carrying on that communication with him. And so I would think that that would be something that has been a significant thing that has helped me become closer to God, is just consistency. And even whenever I don't feel like it, doing it anyway. And so, yeah. And then one of the last questions is, what's your favorite scripture and how has it changed your view on life? So for the longest time, I have loved Romans 5:3-5, which reads, let me get to it. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proving character, and proving character hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So this one has been such a key part of my life, just because I've held on to it whenever I go through trying times and hard times, because it realized that there truly is a process whenever you go through hard things, that there's a bigger and there's a better outcome waiting at the end of it. And the end goal being the fact that we have hope in Jesus, and that hope does not disappoint us and it doesn't fail us. And knowing that this hope comes from God, who cannot fail and is so loving and so generous and so compassionate, it just brings a peace knowing that even through the trying times, that there is an outcome that's much greater than what we could even imagine. And then the second scripture that I would say would be one of my favorite verses would be Galatians 1:10, which I have both of these engraved in my senior ring, because they've just been such key scriptures in my life, and I've held them very, very near to my heart. And I wish that I could say that I had them memorized, but I do not. Galatians 1:10 says, "For am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ." This scripture really taught me that as Christians, we are going to be different than the people who live in the world and the people that are worldly, and that it's quite impossible to be a people pleaser to the people of the world if we are serving Christ and truly following after him. And so that's been kind of my piece of being like, look, Lord, I lay down this people-pleasing aspect that I'm grabbing and trying to prioritize. And so it's just been a constant reminder for me that I'm not going to please everybody, and that's okay. And I'm not supposed to. I'm just supposed to try and strive toward the goal of Christ and towards him. And so that's been a very, very key scripture that I hold near and dear to my heart. And then lastly, this is a question that I ask every one of my guests that are on the podcast, and it really is one of my favorite questions to ask, and it's, what is one piece of advice you would give to anyone watching or listening? And somebody that I interviewed and talked to on the podcast had said that they really reworded this question in the sense in saying, what is one piece of advice that you would give younger you if you had a chance? And so I kind of reworded that for myself too and really asked myself, what is one thing that I wish I could tell myself, that I wish I could tell my younger self? And so one piece of advice I would like to give is to really just remain faithful and remain true in your faith. And as cliche as it sounds, stop caring what everybody else has to say about it and really just rely solely on the Lord and what the Lord has to say about it. Because I think for so long, I struggled so deeply with what other people had to say about me and what other people had to say about my faith and what other people had to say about this and about that. And reality is that's not a life to live. And I mean, I kind of touched on that whenever I was talking about Galatians 1:10 of just not being a people pleaser and really just serving the Lord and letting that be something that you take on full-heartedly and go all in for, because there's no way that you can serve two masters, the two masters being the world and Jesus. And so I would say that that definitely would be my piece of advice, is to just not care what other people have to say and strive after the things of God and strive after the things that He has placed in your heart, because there's been so many dreams that the Lord has placed in my heart, and there's been so many dreams that have been delayed, which obviously it's all the Lord's timing, but I feel like there were things that the Lord called me to do and dreams that He gave me that I would have done had I not been so scared of what other people would have thought. And looking back now, I regret not doing those things. And so I would just say that that would be my advice, to just not care what other people think. Okay, so now that I've really talked about my testimony, obviously y'all have stuck around this far, so I just want to say thank you for the support and for just staying around. But obviously I think that it's only fair that y'all know really where this idea came from and how it was birthed into my heart and all of these things and how the Lord really just showed up in this situation. And so I just really wanted to give a brief summary of what this is going to be and where we're going to go from this solo episode forward. And so with that being said, I'm just going to really talk about where this dream came from and how the Lord is really working on it and all of those things. So that being said, I'm just going to trace it back to the start of it. Obviously, so in 11th grade, I don't really know when, I don't know if it was like first semester, second semester, when it was, but I just remember in 2021. So I guess it probably, I don't really know. But anyways, in 11th grade, the Lord birthed this dream in my heart to start this podcast, and it was going to be called Come As You Are, as this one is called Come As You Are. But I really jumped the gun on it, and I didn't really pray about it or anything like that, because it wasn't very centered around the Lord. I was just so excited with this dream that I jumped the gun on it, and so I bought all of the things for it. I really was just like, we're going to do this. We're going to follow through with it. Told all my friends. I didn't really hide it in my heart and pray about it. I was just very, very open with it. And, you know, eventually, I was a very, very, very much a people pleaser. And I was very, very scared of what other people had to think about me. And so in high school, I decided, you know, I'm not going to do it, and kind of gave up on that dream. Well, it was a reoccurring thought in the back of my brain from that moment forward, but I never really went anywhere with it. And then recently, in October of 2024, I was like just laying in bed praying to the Lord before I went to sleep, and the thought of the podcast came back into my mind, but this time it was like I had a peace about it. It wasn't like this uncertainty or that it was this excitement or anything like that. And so with that thought and with that dream placed back into my heart, I decided to go to the Lord about it, and I prayed about it, and I felt once again so much peace about it. And so I was like, Lord, if this is something that you want me to do, please give me the ability to do it and just be at the center of it all. And so he sort of rebirthed this dream, or not necessarily rebirthed it, but brought it back up to me. The original podcast format from the 11th grade is very, very similar to this one now. So I truly believe that the Lord started that dream in 11th grade for a reason, because in that I was going to have my solo episode, but then the rest of my episodes were going to be with different believers that I knew, my friends, my family, whoever it may be. And they were going to just sit down, share their testimony, share their faith, and all of these things on this podcast. And I was going to kind of interview them and all of these things. And so tracing it back, he gave me that dream again and placed that format in my heart and all of these things, and started giving me names of the people that would be on it and all of these things. And it felt like everything started falling into place, and I was able to get the equipment needed. And I was very, very thankful that my parents were supportive of this, and they helped me gather the equipment that I needed and all of these things. And so I started researching, and the Lord was obviously giving me knowledge and wisdom in that. And, you know, my setup isn't perfect, but it's able. And I'm so, so, so thankful that the Lord has given me the ability to get to do this. And so I guess that's where we're at now, is I prayed about it and the Lord gave me peace about it. And this is something that I know that the Lord has called me to do, because never in a million years did I think that I would be doing this ever. And so this is just a really exciting thing for me to be able to come on here, share my faith, but also share the stories that so many people may never have the chance of hearing had it not been for starting this podcast that the Lord has so graciously allowed me to. And so I guess with that being said, what you can expect with these episodes is I'm going to be on every single one of them, but joining me is going to be somebody different every single time. And obviously there's going to be some reoccurring guests, and we're just going to sit down, and some of them are going to be conversational style. Like the one next week is going to be very, very much conversational style. We just sit down and we chat about the Lord and about all the things he has done. But there's going to be other episodes, which the one after that is going to be like me asking questions and really just diving deep into different topics and things like that. So it's going to look different, but ultimately Jesus is going to be at the center of every single one of those. And we're going to really dive deep into the things that he has done and the things that he's doing. And with that being said, thank you guys, and I will see y'all next week.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Come As You Are. I'm so grateful that you chose to spend the time to listen to the testimonies of my friends and family. The Lord is so faithful and a present help in time of need, and we have seen that through the eyes of other people's stories. Maybe you find yourself in that place right now, searching, wondering, and chasing after something to fill the void that you have inside. I want you to know that you are not alone by any means, and that we all have this void, and the only way that it can be filled is by Jesus Christ. Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was brutally beaten, then died a sinner's death on a cross, and then he was buried in a tomb. He did all of this for you, and he did it for me, to save us from the grip of sin in our lives so that we may have forgiveness and be set free. But the good news is, it doesn't end there. 3 days later, he rose from the grave, proving that death and hell is defeated in the powerful name of Jesus. And this Jesus wants a relationship with you. He loves you, and he wants to set you free from the stronghold of sin, brokenness, and burdens, and show you that there is so much more to life. John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." This verse wraps up the gospel completely. It tells us that God loves the world so much that he sent his one and only son, and that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And he did all of that in just hopes that you would come to him. And how you do that is simply by calling upon his name, admitting that you are a sinner and need a saving, and believing in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead 3 days later. And the Bible tells us that in Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then it goes on to tell us in 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This scripture makes it clear that today is the day of salvation. There is no need to wait whenever the Holy Spirit is tugging at you to come to the Father. If you have made the decision to follow Christ for the first time, recommit yourself to Christ, or have any questions, please email us at ccomeasyouare.pod@gmail.com with your decisions or questions. Thanks again for listening to Come As You Are. We will see you next Monday at 10 a.m. Central Time. Love you guys.